Good morning.
Good morning.
Good day to be saved, man.
Good morning.
Good day to be a child of God.
Every day.
Good day every day, amen. All right, well, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Lord kind of put this message on my heart and mind here a few weeks ago, and I thought since we were going to observe the Lord's Supper, this would be a good day to preach this message. So, if you will, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4. And we're going to look at one verse, verse 9. The message title this morning is How Quickly We Forget. Quickly We Forget. Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 9. Let's read together. Verse 9, God's word says, Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Christ, please, in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather here in your house today, Lord. And God, we thank you for Brother Todd as he's bringing the message this morning that we can apply to our daily lives and our walk with you. God, we thank you for Lynn, who brought her to us, Lord, as a chance. God, we are thankful to have her with us this morning. Lord, we pray for your nation, Israel, Lord, they're under attack, God, and that you just take care of your people, Lord. We pray for that. God, we thank you for those who are here this morning. We pray for those who are sick. Put your precious hand on them and heal them, Lord. God, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. In the Old Testament, the Lord told the people of Israel that he wanted them to observe six different feasts. And the Lord wanted them to observe these feasts so that they would remember certain things. Now think about this. On the 14th day of the first month, they were to observe what we call the Passover. And during this feast, they were to remember the Exodus and how God had delivered them from their bondage to the Egyptians. On the sixth day of the third month, they were to observe the Feast of Pentecost. And it was during this feast that they were to remember the giving of the Old Testament law. On the first day of the seventh month, they were to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. And this was to be a time of rest for the people and a time when burnt offerings were to be made to the Lord. From the 15th to the 22nd, on the seventh month, they were to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And during this feast, they were to remember their time in the wilderness and to remember God's providential care over them during that time in the wilderness. And on the 25th day of the ninth month, they were to observe the Feast of Dedication. And this was where they were to remember the reconsecration of the temple after its pollution by the Syrians. And then finally, on the 14th and 15th of the 12th month, that was the Feast of Purim. And this is where the Jews were to remember how God had delivered the Jews from Haman. Friends, God had done a lot for these people.
Amen.
He really had.
Amen.
And he didn't want them to forget what he had done. And this is why, this is the reason he had them observe these feasts. So they would remember certain things that he had done for them. And this is why in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God commanded them to be diligent and not forget the things that they had seen and that they had learned. And God commanded them to do this. Why do you think God commanded them to not forget? I'm going to tell you why God commanded them not to forget. Because he knew how forgetful they could be. I mean, you know, you get a little kid and there's a cookie jar and it's before dinner. If you don't tell that kid, don't touch those cookies, what do you think that kid's going to do? They're going to eat those cookies, right? Well, God knows how we are. God knows how forgetful we can be. And so God told them, he said, don't forget. He said, what did he say? Let's read it again. He said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Friends, God knows how we are. He knows how forgetful we can be. And you know, the Bible is full of people who lost sight of God's goodness in their lives. Well, I'm going to say this. God's done a lot for them, didn't he? But you know what, friends? God has done a lot for us. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just tell you something. If you are currently saved, born again, on your way to heaven, you know Jesus as your Savior, let me just be blunt with you. God's already done more for you than you deserve. Amen?
Amen.
But let me tell you something. God didn't just save me. God did mighty good to me. God sent me a real good woman about 35 years ago, and she's been a real good, faithful wife to me. I'm healthy. She's healthy. Our children are healthy. Guess where those blessings came from? They came from God.
Amen.
Okay? I have a home I live in. I have a roof over my head, a bed to sleep in, clothes to wear, food to eat. Guess what? Guess who blessed me with all these things? God did. Man, God's good.
Amen.
And you know, when I consider who I am, I'll just be blunt about it. I just don't understand why God loves me so much. I don't understand why God is so good to me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but I don't understand why I love saying you either. Because I know who we are. I know what we've done, friends. And yet God has done so much for us. And he cares for us. And he provides for us concerning the things of this life. But again, the greatest thing God has done is to send his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, avoid going to hell, and go to heaven when this life is over. And this morning, yes, we are going to be observing the Lord's Supper. And as we do, we are going to be remembering what the Lord Jesus did for us at Calvary. We're going to remember his body, which was broken and battered because of our sins. We're going to remember his blood that was shed so that our sins might be covered. But friends, I am not naive. I know we're just as bad as the Israelites were. I know how inclined we are to forget God's goodness.
Amen.
We're just as inclined to forget God's goodness as anyone in the Bible ever was. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes. And I want to look at a few reasons. I'm going to give you four. There's more than four. But I want to look at a few of the main reasons that God's people tend to forget his goodness. And hopefully, if we understand some of the things that maybe cause us to be forgetful, maybe we can guard against them and take heed of ourselves and not forget ourselves as God has said in our text. So what things would cause us to forget God in our lives? Well, I'm going to give you four of them. The first one is this. If you allow yourself to become discontent, you hear me? You become discontent with where you are, with what you have, I'm going to make you a promise, you will forget God. Absolutely. A discontent heart will forget God every time. Think about it. Numbers chapter 11 and in Numbers chapter 23, the children of Israel had become discontent. Anybody know why? It was because of the manna that was falling from heaven that they were eating every day. They were discontent with what God was giving them. Now, I want you to think about it. The manna fell from where? Heaven. They didn't have to do anything for it except go out and gather it. And obviously, the manna was nourishing them. The manna was sustaining them. It was giving them everything that they needed. And yet, they became discontent. And they begin to complain. They complain against God. Numbers 11, let me tell you something. In Numbers 11, they were so discontent with the manna that they actually begin to do this. Remember back in good old Egypt? When we had, so good, let me read you a little excerpt. Are you ready for this? In Numbers 11, verses 5 and 6, they're sick of the manna, okay? God's feeding them. They're not hungry, but they're sick of the manna. In verse 5, it says, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna. You know what? If I'd have been God, I'd have said, fine, I'll take that away too. You can just be hungry. They'd probably like the manna then, wouldn't they?
Amen.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, they cried out for years and years and years for God to deliver them from Egypt. And then he does, and then he takes them out in the wilderness, and he provides for them in the most miraculous fashion. I mean, he delivered them in a miraculous fashion. Think about that, friends. Think about the 10 plagues and what he did to the Egyptians to even get them released to begin with. And then they go out in the wilderness, and they come up to the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh and his army, going to take them back into bondage. And what happens? God kills every one of them. He destroys them in the sea after he parts it for the Israelites. Guess what? The Egyptians were never going to be a problem for him again. And yet, then he takes them out in the wilderness, and what do we do? More miraculous things happen. God begins to give them water from a rock so that they won't become dehydrated. And then all of a sudden, manna begins to fall down from heaven so that they can eat. Friends, God was meeting their needs.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. He may not have been giving them everything they wanted, but he was meeting their needs. And I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't always give me everything I want either.
Amen.
But you know what? Praise God, he meets my needs.
Amen.
He does. I'm never hungry. I'm never without. I always have everything I need. Sometimes I think maybe I need a little more of it, but God knows what's best.
Amen.
He was meeting their needs, and yet they foolishly complained about what God was doing for them. In Numbers 21, they actually said that they, listen to me, loathed the manna that God was giving them. Can you imagine going out to eat today and go to Cracker Barrel, and they put down some chicken and dumplings in front of you? That's what I like to eat when I go there. No, Larry don't like chicken and dumplings. Well, Larry, something wrong with you, but anyway. But you go and something, they put something down, and somebody buys some meal for you, and then you say, "Oh, I loathe chicken and dumplings." Well, I'll tell you something. Somebody told me one time, said, "You obviously ain't got hungry enough yet, okay?
Amen.
If you get hungry, you'll eat about anything somebody puts in front of you, won't you?" Okay, but they loathed this man. God was taking such good care of them, and they had the nerve to say they loathed it. They hated it. Friends, God was taking good care of them, and yet they became so discontent, so ungrateful, that they forgot about all the good things that God had done for them. And you know what? Today, God's people are no better. We're not. I'm not, and you're not. So often, we allow our hearts to become discontent. Now, I've been preaching for a long time, over 30 years now, and I'm going to tell you, I have found, I can tell you why, 99% of the time, why God's people become discontent. Can we tell you why it is? Because we spend all our time focusing on what other people have.
Amen.
And then when we focus on what other people have, we start to compare what we got compared to them. We start to think, well, I think maybe the Lord gave me short end of the stick here. And maybe, you know, he should have given me more. Why did he give them what he gave them, but he didn't give that to me? You know, I've heard God's people say things like that. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you spend all your time focusing on what others have, you will never be content with what you have.
Amen.
And rather than complaining about what you don't have, let me, as your pastor today, give you some advice. Instead of going home and worrying about all the things you don't got, go home and count your blessings.
Amen.
Go home and look at what God has done for you, and spend some time on your knees today and pray and thank God and say, "Lord, I praise you for everything you've done for me." Now, Lord don't give everybody the same thing, does he? He's not equal, okay? I looked at the parable of the talents. I said this the other day. He left one servant 5 talents, one of them 2, one of them 1. He doesn't always give everybody the same thing, but I got news for you. God's better to you than you deserve.
Amen.
And God's done more for you than you deserve.
Amen.
And instead of complaining about what you don't have, honey, what you better go home and do is praise God over what you do.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, a discontent heart is a forgetful. Okay? That ain't the only reason we forget God. Let me give you another reason that we forget God. When we allow ourselves to become fearful, we become forgetful. Now, let me read you a little something here, okay? And what the Lord himself said here in Isaiah chapter 51. Let me turn to it. I get my thing loose here. Isaiah chapter 51. I'm going to read to you something he said here in verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 51:12, God's word says this. He says, "I, even I, am he that comforteth you." He says, "Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord?" You hear what God said there? He said, when you become afraid, guess what you do? You become forgetful about who he is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, fear and faith cannot occupy the same heart. I've been saying this for years now. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same heart. And I'm going to tell you what the absolute worst thing that this can happen to you. You ready for it? Here is the absolute worst thing that can happen to you in this life. You will die. That's the worst thing. Worst thing can happen. You're going to die. Think about this for a minute. If you have an accident, what's the first thing that happens? They take you to the hospital, what's the worst thing that happens? If you have an accident, you die. If you get sick, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You can die. Okay? I mean, you're either going to get better or not, one of the two. I mean, the worst thing that happens, if you get sick, you're going to die. And what's the worst thing man can do to you in this physical life? Kill you. That's it. If someone comes up to me and stabs me or shoots me, the worst thing that can happen is I'm going to die. That's the worst thing that's going to happen, friends. Nothing worse than that going to happen in this life. But you know what? Friends, if I am truly a born-again child of God, if I'm truly headed for heaven when this life is over, let me ask them, why would I ever be afraid of dying? Amen. If you are truly the born-again child of God that you say you are, why would you ever be afraid of dying? Friends, let me tell you what Paul said in Philippians. I believe it was chapter 1. He said that he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which he said is far better.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You either believe that or you don't. You either believe heaven is going to be far better than this life or you don't. It's far better. But let me ask something. If you all really believe that, if you believe that when you leave this world, you're going to heaven, if you really believe that heaven's going to be far better, like Paul said, than this life, then let me ask you, why do so many of you seem so intent on staying here as long as you can? Why are God's people so afraid of so many things? Why is that? I mean, you know, listen again, he says, I am he that comforteth you. And he says, who art thou that thou should be afraid? Who are you that you should be afraid? You're a child of God. You're bound for the promised land of heaven. Why should you ever be afraid?
Amen.
You shouldn't be afraid of anything. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. And yet I meet so many Christians. They'll say this, well, I want to go to heaven, just not today. Well, let me say this to you, good for you. I'd like to go today. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, I'll say this. If it's the Lord's will for me to stay here another 40 years, I'll stay here another 40 years. Okay? If that's His will. But I'm going to make you a promise. The second that He wants me, He will get no argument from me. Okay? I'm ready to go on the day He wants me. But we need to be careful, friends, because fear causes us to be forgetful. And we need to be careful because there's a lot of voices out there in the world today that are just trying to make us afraid, okay? Let me tell you something. Politicians, they are some of the worst fear mongers on the planet. I heard a politician actually say this. He said, we understand. I couldn't believe he said this on TV in front of a camera. I couldn't believe he didn't get a blowback about it. But this is what he said. He said, we understand that we have to keep our base scared or mad to keep them showing up to vote. Because if they're not scared or if they're not mad, they may not show up. So what does that tell you? It tells me they're trying to scare you. It tells me they're trying to keep you mad. Why? Because they want to keep you voting for them. They want to make you scared of the other party so that you'll vote for them. They are. Friends, they are absolute fear mongers. Okay? And indeed they are. That they're some of the worst. Let me give you another one. The media. Media constantly trying to strike fear in the hearts of people. Let me give you one I keep hearing about. Climate change. And boy, the politicians love that one too. Climate change. Now I'm just going to say something. You can disagree with me if you want. I think man has an effect on the planet. There ain't no doubt about it. But I just think the only way that's going to not happen is if there ain't no people. Okay? Because as long as there's people on the planet, they're going to be an effect. Okay? It's just the way it is. But I think a lot of the stuff they're propagating and pushing today, they're making up. And I'm going to tell you why. I did a little study. You know that the hottest year on record in the state of Kentucky was almost 100 years ago? You know there was 18 days that year that there was, it was over 100 degrees. I've looked this up. And the records have been kept in Kentucky since 1882. But let me ask them, why was it back in the early 30s we had a year where we had 18 days over 100 degrees? And now, by the way, it was that same year we had our all-time highest temperature in the state of Kentucky, which was 108 degrees. Let me ask something. If it's climate change today, what was it then? You know, I listen to these people and they act like, you know, hurricanes just started happening a few years ago when Donald Trump was president. Or, you know, they never had a tornado before 10 years. This stuff's been going on forever, friends.
Amen.
tell you something. I'm just going to give y'all some advice. Don't believe everything you hear on your television set, okay? Don't believe everything you read online, because most of it's a lie. And yet they propagate this stuff, and they scare the snot out of a lot of people. And so we've got to be afraid. So we will be afraid. Let me give you another one I want to scare you. Another group, drug makers. They want you to be afraid. You know why? Because if you're afraid of getting something, you'll take their drug. That's how they make their money.
Amen.
They want you to buy as many drugs and take as many shots as possible so that they can make as much money as possible. I can tell you this. It's a business. Did you know that? They don't care as much about your well-being as they do about their bottom line. And I've come to that conclusion a long time ago. You need to be careful, friends. Drug makers are fear-mongers. There are so many people in the world today who are trying to make people afraid. And I'm telling you, if God's people aren't careful, we're going to fall into the trap of being afraid too. And I'm telling you, the second we become afraid, we will become forgetful. And one more thing before I move on this subject of God's people being afraid. Remember in Matthew 14? Remember Jesus put them on a ship and sent them out in the middle of the sea? And they didn't even ask, well, where are you going to be? They just said, get the ship and go across, and they did. And it was nighttime, and a storm arose, and they got afraid. And here came Jesus walking on the water to them. That had to be a surprise, don't you think? And you remember Peter? He said, Lord, can I come out there and walk on the water with you? And you remember Jesus said, come. And so old Peter, he stepped over the side of the boat. He was doing all right for a minute, but then after a few steps, guess what he did? He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to look at the storm around him. And guess what happened? He became afraid.
Amen.
He became afraid. And what happened the second he became afraid? He began to sink. Do you think that's relevant for us today?
Amen.
Guarantee it is. When you become afraid, and I don't care what it is, you become afraid of anything, friends, you too will begin to sink. And while you're sinking, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have problems, friends. And this is what gets me as I think about Peter. He'd been with Jesus for a while. He had witnessed the things Jesus had done. He had witnessed Jesus heal all of these people of all of these diseases. He had witnessed Christ and his power over nature and power over the forces of evil. He had watched Jesus feed 5,000 people with 5 little loaves of bread and a couple little fish. And then out there in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, he looks at Jesus walking on water. But he allowed himself to become afraid. It was almost the end of him. If it hadn't been for Jesus, it would have been. Friends, a fearful Christian is a forgetful Christian. Who art thou? Thou shouldst be afraid. No, I'm a child of God. I don't guess I'd be afraid of anything. Amen. He's got me right at the palm of his hand. He loves me.
Amen.
And when this life is over, and it will end when he says it's going to end, and when it's over, I'm going home. What is there to be afraid of?
Amen.
And yet so many of God's people are so fearful of so many things. Brings me to my third point. When we become too focused on things of the world, guess what happens? In Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He was trying to teach them a deep spiritual truth. But where did their mind immediately go? To worldly things, okay? And they got confused pretty quick by Jesus' words. Why? Because they were focused on worldly things. They weren't thinking about spiritual things. They were thinking about actual bread and actual yeast. And then in Matthew 16, verse 9, Jesus said this. He said, do you not understand? Do you not remember what I have done? He told them, he said, I'm not talking about physical yeast, and I'm not talking about physical bread, but rather he was warning them against falling for the false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Amen.
Let me give you another one. Back here in Deuteronomy again. Chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 10 through 12. God says, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. They didn't have to build these cities. God gave it to them. And houses full of good things, which thou fillest not. And wells dig, which thou diggest not. And vineyards and olive trees, which thou planted not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. In other words, when you prosper. God says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord.
Amen.
God prospered these people with a lot of worldly things. And he warned them that when they became prosperous, there was going to be this temptation to forget him. And guess what they did? God prospered. Oh, and they forgot him. Friends, listen to me. Worldly wealth and material possessions and worldly pleasures are not going to last long.
Amen.
You know, I told somebody this week, the older I get, the more I understand what Solomon was saying when he said that all is vanity.
Yep.
The things of this world are vain. And those who spend all of their time pursuing those things do so in vain. Because A, the things of this world don't last. B, they can't help you one bit in eternity. You remember the rich man in Luke 16 when he went to hell? All his wealth couldn't buy his way out of hell, could it? Took him to hell. And so worldly things won't help you. And C, you can't take it with you.
Amen.
But even though God's word warns us, I have seen so many of God's people become so distracted with the things of this world. And just the second they do, guess what happens? They quickly forget God and all the good things that he's done. Yes, becoming discontent will quickly cause you to forget the Lord and his goodness. Allowing yourself to become afraid will cause you to quickly forget God and his goodness. Becoming focused on the things of this world will cause you to forget about God and his goodness. And there's one other thing I want to bring out this morning, and that is that when we neglect the word of God,
come on, preacher,
we quickly forget about God.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of scripture verses. Give me a second to turn this one. It's in Hosea. If you want to turn there with me, you can. It's the first little book right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Let me just read this to you. Verse 1, I'll start here. He says, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. It says, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Listen to this. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Man, that kind of sounds like the United States of America today, doesn't
Amen.
It? There is no truth. I mean, in America, any truth you want to have, you can have it. There's no real truth.
Amen.
I mean, my goodness, you know, a man wants to be a woman, he can be a woman now. She can be a woman. I'm be a man. I mean, I don't understand. You know, I heard the best thing I ever heard about this week. A woman said this. She said, I don't understand if the gender you're born with. She said, if that doesn't define who you are, she says, how does getting rid of things affirm what you are?
Amen.
Think about that. There's no truth. There's no mercy in America. There's no knowledge of God in the land today. Sounds like America. And what did God say first here? He said, hear the word of the Lord. Why? Because God knows if we don't hear it, we will quickly forget him.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
This is what Israel had done, and I see it happening today. I see us repeating the same mistakes. Now look on in verse, let's go on to verse 6. Listen to this, because this is a warning, church. Verse 6 in Hosea 4 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You hear that? We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I'm always amazed. Now, I know there's some of you in this church who read your Bibles diligently. God bless you.
Amen.
And I know there's people in this church, you read it every day, and you've read it multiple times, and I praise God for you, but I also know there's people in this church, people in this room, have never read it through the first time. You've read little bits and pieces of it, but you've never read the whole thing. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The church today, our biggest problem is we've gotten away from the Word of God, haven't we?
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, how many churches today, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We don't care what the Bible says. We're going to do what we want to do. I mean, how many churches today, let's just be blunt about it, are ordaining homosexuals into the ministry? Forget letting them even be members of the church. They're ordaining them to be leaders of the church. That ain't what God's Word says.
Amen.
We've gotten away from the truth of God's Word. We're doing whatever we want to do.
Come on.
We wonder why the nation's in the shape it's in.
Amen.
It's because of the shape the church is in. You want to know why the church is in the shape it's in? It's because we neglect the Word of God, and even when we know the Word of God, we don't always do what it says.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to see a revival take place in America?
Amen.
Watch God's people get in the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and do what the Word of God says.
Amen. Amen.
God will transform this nation.
Amen.
He is right. My people. He didn't say people. He said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Today I see so many people, and I'm talking God's people, and yeah, I'm talking about people even in this church, who struggle mightily in this life because they neglect God's Word. This week I counseled with a man who is a professing Christian, and he came to me with a problem that I'm thinking to myself, and I'm going to tell exactly what it was. There's nobody in this church, but this guy came to me and he gave me a problem. I thought, well, it was a real simple solution to this problem. It's in the Bible. I looked at him and said, have you ever read the whole Bible? He was kind of shocked that that was my response. You know, he's wanting an answer how to fix his problem. And I look at him and I said, have you ever read the whole Bible? And he was kind of stunned. Well, no. So how long have you been saved? 40 years. And you've never read the whole Bible. I've read parts of it. I said, well, you've obviously missed the part that's got the solution to your problem. And so I opened my Bible and I showed him what God said about his specific problem. And he looked at me, why did it say that? You want me to tell you why he didn't know what that it said that? Because he never read it. Who's that on, friends? That ain't on his preacher. That ain't on his church. That ain't on the deacons. That's on him.
Amen.
I do. I see so many people who struggle so mightily every day because they just neglect the Word of God. Friends, I promise you that man's lack of knowledge in God's Word is just making his time on this planet exponentially harder than it needs to be. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 22:29? He said, you do err because you know not the Scriptures nor the power of God. I hate to say this, friends, but for so many today, I believe their spiritual diet consists of 1 hour a week at church listening to a preacher preach the Word of God to them. And then the second church is over, they go right back out in the world, and they forget God, and they never get in God's Word, and they don't have any spiritual food all week long until the next time. Let me ask them, how healthy physically do you think you'd be if you only ate one day a week? You'd be malnourished, wouldn't you? How healthy do you think you're going to be spiritually if the only diet of God's Word you get is here with a Sunday school teacher and a preacher?
Amen.
You need to be in this Word every day. And Jesus is right. You do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And I see these people, they neglect God's Word, and then they have one problem after another, after another, after another, because they neglect God's Word. And then because of their worldly problems, guess what they do? They're so focused on the worldly problems that they have created that they forget about God. Amazing how that works, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I need to be in the Word of God every day.
Amen.
Okay, because friends, it helps me to stay focused on Him. It helps me to stay focused on His will and what He wants me to do. It helps me to stay focused on His will rather than myself and the things of the world. And you can neglect the Word of God if you want to, but as Jesus said, you will be in error. And it will lead you to error. You'll neglect it at your own peril, but I promise you this. You neglect the Word of God, you're going to be one unforgetful Christian.
Amen.
Friends, there's all kinds of things that can cause us to lose sight of God. Today, I've just given you four of them. But we need to pay attention to what God has said in our original text in Deuteronomy chapter 4. We need to take heed to keep our souls diligent, so that we don't forget God and one of the things that He's done for us.
Amen.
And today we're going to remember, aren't we, what the Lord did for us at the cross. And the Lord's done some good things for me. He really has. I'm born in America. I could have been born somewhere else, you know that, right? You want to be born somewhere else? Aren't you glad God stepped in good old Kentucky or Ohio or Tennessee, wherever it is you came from? Aren't you glad that that's where you came from,
Amen,
rather than Iran or Afghanistan? I mean, you're pretty blessed. God bless me with my wife. God bless me with my family. God bless me with my health. Man, God's been so good to me, but I'm telling you, say it again. Of all the things God has done for me, the greatest thing God has done for me is send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for me, so that I could be saved and go to heaven when this life is over.
Amen.
That is the greatest thing that God has done for me. And so as we approach this ordinance, the Lord's Supper today, we are commanded in 1 Corinthians 11 to examine ourselves. And so as you do that today, and I would invite you as we sing our final hymn to come to the altar, and as you do, maybe if you're honest today, honest with yourself, you'd have to admit that maybe sometimes you're a little discontent. You're too focused on what others have instead of what God has done for you. I'm going to make a promise. You let yourself get discontent, you're going to forget God. Be careful. Maybe if you're honest with yourself today, you'd have to admit that maybe you're a little fearful about whatever it might be. Friends, come and talk to God about that and ask Him to relieve your fears, because we live in a world that has a lot to fear. And I'm telling you, it's not easy even for a child of God to be fearless. When we're afraid, and we forget God. And if you find a day that maybe you're fearful, maybe you just count Him and just remember He's still on His throne. He's still in charge. And therefore you as His child have nothing to fear. Maybe if you're honest today, you would have to say, well, yeah, preacher, I have become too focused on the things of this world, and maybe it's causing you to forget God. Or maybe today you'd have to confess that you've been neglecting the Word of God and the things that God has been trying to lead you to do, and therefore you've become forgetful of God. But whatever it may be, let us all take heed today as we approach it. Keep our own souls diligent, lest we too forget. Friends, there is nothing more miserable in this life than a child of God who has lost sight of what really matters.
Amen.
Today, if you've lost sight of what matters, come tell the Lord about it. And focus all your attention today on remembering not only what the Lord did for you at the cross, but how good He is to you.